And welcome to the Sportscast, April 18th, 2018. The NBA playoffs are on the way, in the way, and one main shocker is happening. And also the other teams are strengthening their positions. Jeff is on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, thanks, Santiago. How are things going?
Good, man. Things are exciting. NBA is getting tense. I'm watching a lot of games. What do you think about the playoffs so far?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'll tell you what. I was the series that I was paying close attention to was the Sixers and the Heat. And, you know, game one, the Sixers looked like world beaters. And then game two, Dwayne Wade looked like he jumped in a time machine. So, you know, the Heat went from a two-point lead to a – what was it? They went from a two-point lead to an eight-point lead, and Dwayne Wade scored the 6 points. He had a steal and a dunk and then a defensive stop and then made a layup. I mean, he – man, it's playoff Dwayne Wade is still – he's still tough.
Yeah, Wade is, you know, playing vintage Wade lately, but some people say this could be his last season. You think so?
Yeah, that's tough to say. I think he wants to keep playing, but at the same time, if he plays really well and leaves a good impression here at the end of the playoffs, you know, maybe he's one of those guys that doesn't want to have to get carted off at the end. You know, guys like Kobe, not to knock Kobe, he had a great career, but he really, I mean, he played until he couldn't play anymore. And maybe Wade doesn't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you think, like, the locker room people might know, well, yeah, this is Wade's last season? Like, you think he's told everyone, or you think this is, I mean, wait till the summer?
Oh, man. I wouldn't be surprised if he told people. And the only reason I say that is sometimes you do see these playoff runs where, you know, maybe guys get just a little extra juice because they really want to see good things for a veteran player. And if you look at the history of the Miami Heat, you'd really have a tough time finding someone that meant more to the franchise than Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, Wade is the franchise player. He's when he came back this past season, everyone was excited. Tickets were sold. So we'll see what happens with that series. Do you think Miami has a good chance of winning that series?
I like the Sixers, man. I mean, the only reason I say that, I mean, when you look at the playoffs, you know, veteran leadership means something. Guys that have been there before mean something. So I am by no means counting out the Heat. But I'll tell you what, Ben Simmons, he's gonna be a special one. I really, really like him. And you know, Embiid, I know he hasn't played yet, but he'll eventually be back. So I think the Sixers are going to have a little bit too much firepower. I could see it going 6 or 7 games, but I lean towards the Sixers in that one.
Yeah, me, myself as well. I do see the Sixers winning 6. So we'll see what happens in game 3. Sometimes these series, you got to go game by game and just test it out because it could change. Sometimes you know from the first 2 games, oh, this team is definitely going to win this series. The Raptors won.
I think the Raptors might sweep them. I mean, the Wizards, you know, not to put them down too much, they're a playoff team. But when I see the Wizards, it feels as though everybody felt that when John Wall came back, it would be a really nice boon for them. But they just, Beal and Wall have not, it just seems as though they haven't found a way to coexist. They both seem to be ball dominant guys. And the other thing that I am blown away by, I don't know why and I can't explain it, but nobody wants to give the Raptors credit yet. What do the Toronto Raptors have to do for people to just step back and say, you know what? They're pretty good. You know, they're going to be a tough out. You know, they earn their seed. I think, you know, we always want to look down on the team that's losing. I think maybe the Raptors are just really good. And for maybe because in the past they haven't done well in the playoffs. Maybe we're holding that against them. But I like the Raptors. I like the Raptors a lot.
I chose the Raptors to win the East. Now, especially now that that Cleveland had trouble with Indiana in Game One.
Yeah, I have a really, really difficult time picking against a LeBron James team in a series because he's done this so many times where they get down and then he turns superhuman. With that said, if LeBron is going to make it to the finals, this is going to be his greatest accomplishment, in my opinion. He really, I don't know, I get the Cavs tried to get young and athletic, and I understand all that, but they don't look right. You know, just bird's eye view, they don't look right. And again, just going back to the Raptors are really good. It's, you know, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time the Raptors and Cavs played in the playoffs, the Raptors lost their starting center a week before the series. So, you know, the last time they played each other, we might not have really been getting a full look at what the Raptors could do.
Yeah, we haven't seen the full fledge of it. This is, you know, Raptors' best season. I think even better than the Vince Carter days. So I really do think Toronto will go deep. I think this is their chance. And going up 2-0, they're in a healthy position of advancing to the next round. How do you see the Cleveland-Indiana series? Do you still think Cleveland could pull it out?
I think Cleveland could definitely... I think Cleveland can still win the series, but I also look at it, and from what I've seen, the Pacers are ranked near the top at just about every defensive category. And, you know, sometimes early in the season you look at things like that and you say, well, they haven't played that many games. But when you've played an entire season and the numbers show that you're a great defensive team, well, you've earned it at that point. You know, you play 82 games and then a couple playoff games as well. Well, then you've earned it. So I think the Pacers are really good defensively, so I think they're going to be right there. I think they're going to, at the very least, they're going to be in every game. So I could see that being a longer series. But again, you know, just going back to who really feels comfortable picking against LeBron James?
No one.
I don't. I still think the Cavs will find a way to win that series.
So Cleveland in how many games?
I would think 6.
Yeah, 7 games doesn't look pretty on paper. Also last night, the Boston Celtics defeated the Milwaukee Bucks 120-106. Milwaukee could not tie the game or make it closer like they did in Game 1.
Yeah, Milwaukee and Minnesota are the two teams that I've kind of been disappointed in. Not to take anything away from the Boston Celtics, because they're playing well. But if you're the Bucks, okay, let's look at this from the Bucks' point of view. You're going into this series knowing that the Celtics are missing Kyrie Irving. And you're still, at least last night, they got blown out. So how, you know, if you're the Bucks, when are you going to get an opportunity like this again, where you get to play a team missing their best player?
Yeah. The Celtics last night, Jason Tatum only had 4 points. Al Horford had 16. Jaylen Brown had 30. Terry Rozier had 23. Marcus Morris had 18, Greg Monroe had 12, and Shane Larkin had 11. But surprisingly, this guy Jaylen Brown had 30 points.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say for the Celtics, when you watch their offense, how smooth does it look? I mean, they move the ball, they share it. You don't see a lot of ISO plays. I mean, they really. Everything they do just looks smooth to me. And so, I mean, Brown scoring 30 is, you know, obviously I didn't see that coming either. But I think the way they run their offense, whoever shoots well is going to have an opportunity to score a bunch. But when you give those numbers, the other thing that you see there is the balance. I mean, all the guys scoring in double figures, you have incredible balance.
Yeah. System over all-stars.
To some extent, I agree. But I do think at some point in the playoffs, there's going to be some point in the playoffs where the Celtics say, you know, if we had Kyrie Irving, we'd be better off. I mean, he's a great player. You know, he's a phenomenal player. So eventually they're going to miss him. But you also can't fault them for winning games, you know, winning as many as they can without him.
Yeah, you know, like you were saying, probably Milwaukee is not as hard for any team to beat, I'm saying, maybe for a system like this. But if you face Toronto or Cleveland, that's where you really need those stars to come up big.
I think they'd have a really difficult time against Toronto if they don't have Irving, especially, you know, I think where you miss your stars is in those 2 and 4 point games, late game situations. You know, not that you just want to give it to your star and have him go one on one versus the team or anything like that, but they're stars for a reason. You know, they make big shots, or if they don't make the big shot, they make the big pass for somebody else to get an easy look. When they get in some of these close games, I think that's where they're really going to miss Kyrie.
The next big shocker, actually the only shocker last night, was the New Orleans Pelicans defeating the Portland Trail Blazers 111-102. Is this series over?
I won't say over, because I love Dame Lillard, but man, I don't know. The Pelicans have been a little bit of a streaky team this year, so when they're playing well, you know, they're tough. And Anthony Davis probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I mean, he's a really well-known name, but, you know, he gets glossed over a little bit in the MVP conversations, but he's really good. I mean, he's dominant, you know, and I think a lot of people thought when Boogie Cousins got hurt that the Pelicans were pretty much done. And to be honest, I would lean that way. I didn't think that once Boogie was hurt that they would be I didn't think they'd be as functional on the offensive side. But Davis has just really stepped up, and he has such a diverse game. And yeah, Drew Holiday's been playing really well for them as well.
Yeah, Holiday had 33 points last night. He was the highest scoring Pelican. Mirotić had 17. Anthony Davis had 22. Rajon Rondo had 16. I really do think this team is really functioning well. Portland, I've been hearing that like they lack a big man, dominant big man. So that's something that they have to consider in the offseason, because, you know, because they're relying on McCollum and Lillard, which McCollum had 22 points, Lillard had 17, Farouk Aminu had 14, Nurkic had 13, and Harkless had 11, and also Zach Collins had 12. So going down 0-2, you lost home court advantage. Pelicans have to pound hard still for game 3.
Yeah, I think game 3 is always big because you want to keep the momentum in your favor, and you're also going back to your home court. So as great as it is to steal those first 2 games, you can really let the wind out of your sails if you lose game 3 on your home court. So, you know, we'll see how all that plays out, but I would say Portland, you know, I'd be a little bit nervous if I was Portland. But, you know, they don't have an answer for the Pelicans just yet. But, yeah, losing the first 2 games at home, man, that is brutal. I mean, that's tough to come back from.
Would you have predicted, if this goes like the way it might go, would you have predicted the Pelicans coming out of the series or giving them a chance to win the series?
I mean, you can never say never. You know, if we learned anything from sports, it's just that everybody, once you get into a playoff in any sport, if you're in the playoff, you have a chance. You know, so you never say never. But if you're talking about I'm putting my life savings on one team or the other, I wouldn't have put it on the Pelicans. You know, I mean,
if your life depended on it,
that's not the direction I would have went.
Tonight is three games going on tonight. And let's go with predictions. Who do you have for tonight? Indiana Pacers versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, game two.
Yeah, I think the Cavs will win tonight. And some of that's because if you're the road team, you want to try to steal one of those first two games. But too many times we see that game one, there's high intensity from the road team. But if they get that win, there tends to be a little bit of a letdown in game two. So I think this might be I think the Cavs are going to win and even the series.
You're right about LeBron. It seems like he has to do it alone. I mean, obviously, you do have Kevin Love on the side, but you know, with Kyrie out, you just feel the weight more.
Yeah, and even though they, you know, around the trade deadline, it's easy to forget the Cavs has pretty much, you know, shipped everybody out and completely changed their team. Now, I know they've been playing together for a while, but playoff basketball is a different animal. So there's going to be a little bit of a gelling period in the playoffs, too.
Exactly. Also, Utah Jazz versus Oklahoma City Thunder, game two. OKC is up 1-0.
Yeah, I think the Thunder will win again. Paul George playing well makes a huge difference for them. Westbrook is going to do what he does. You know, some nights he might not shoot the best percentage, whereas other nights he might. But with Russ, you know he's going to make plays, he's going to score. And when he has to, he rebounds, obviously, averaged a triple-double again. My whole thing for them is, and I'm probably being a little bit biased here, just I think their lineup when they have Carmelo Anthony on the bench is actually better. You know, Carmelo Anthony is a name guy, and yeah, when he gets hot, he can score in bunches, but their offense just gets so stagnant when he's in the game. So I think they'd be wise to go with their more athletic lineups and try to get up and down the floor, but either way, I think they'll win.
I was surprised. I really thought Utah Jazz will keep it closer in game one, and I picked them as a dark horse, but it's not panning out because I think Russ Westbrook knows their potential, and he's definitely playing his hardest. But also, game two, Timberwolves versus the Rockets. Rockets are up 1-0. Houston scathed out. They only won by 3 points in game one. Who do you have for game two?
I love the Rockets again. I mean, I watched a lot of that game. And now Charles Barkley might have been a little bit harsh. He was saying the Timberwolves are the dumbest team he's ever seen on offense. But I mean, their offense is just a mess. I mean, the Timberwolves, they have a bunch of young guys. They have young legs. They play hard. But there are so many times they don't take advantage of mismatches. Their offense looks all we said earlier, the Celtics offense, it's a machine. They move the ball. The open shooter shoots. They share the ball well. The Timberwolves are the opposite of that. Everything they do looks difficult. I mean, they just don't have anything to hang their hat on.
Are you a Thibs fan?
I guess defensively. Not. I mean, he's a great defensive coach, but you know, sometimes in the NFL, they say if you have a defensive-minded head coach, you just need a strong-willed offensive coordinator. Well, I think maybe Thibs needs I know there's not offensive coordinators in basketball, but maybe he needs one anyway.
There should be.
Now, I mean, for a guy like him, there should be, because he just seems completely lost on that side of the court.
I mean, you wonder what those two other assistant coaches sitting right next to. I mean, what do they do?
I don't have a clue, because they call timeouts and they go back to doing the same dumb stuff again.
Because we know in football, we know each position. There's meaning behind why we hire you for the offense, quarterback coaching. But in basketball, it's like, I mean, I guess Luke Walton looks good right next to Steve Kerr, so he gets hired to the Lakers. You know?
That's a good gig.
That is. I mean, anyways. Well, Jeff Farr, how can people reach you?
I am on Twitter at JT Falver, or I'm on Facebook just under Jeff Falver. I should be the only Jeff Falver. I haven't checked it lately. But yeah, if you want to check me out, that's the way to get in touch.
Have you ever met another Falver like in this world besides your immediate family?
Outside of family? You know what's funny? Probably 5 years ago, there was a group of Falvers in California doing something on Ancestry.com, and one of them reached out to me. But that was the only other time. Never... have never run into a Falver by accident that was non-family.
So far in this playoffs, who is your dark horse?
If I had to pick one team, I'll just say Oklahoma City. Just because anytime you have stars, you have a chance. And Paul George and Westbrook, they're both stars. So, I mean, they could get hot. Again, wouldn't bank on it. But I think they'd be a good dark horse pick.
My pick is the Pelicans. I have to give it to them.
All right, yeah, they've earned it.
But obviously, OKC will probably go farther than the Pelicans, probably. I have a better chance.
You don't know, though. We'll see.
All right, Jeff, thanks for coming on to the SportsCast.
Hey, thanks for having me.